This is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Trevor Talks Too Much, the show where I put my gift of gab to the test, and no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Trevor Everett's Master Baker, mythical soft boy, hater of the middle school science fair. Genuinely hated that so much. I put no effort in. It was my least favorite thing in the world was when we had to do the stupid science fair and we had to make a trifold. Anyway, I don't need to get into how much I freaking hated that as a kid. Today's a really special episode, actually. It is my first ever solo episode. That's right. This intro is being recorded before the main chunk of the show, which we never do. We usually record it after. That's how I know what we talked about. I don't have foresight and futuristic vision. I'm not a seer. But yeah, it's my first solo episode. So I'm just going to be talking about what am I talking about today, Jamie? No, I'm kidding. I know that's a joke. I'm going to be talking about social anxiety and the pandemic and what that did to all of our freaking brains, my brain mostly, because I know it better than anybody else's brain. It's going to be a good time though. I'm going to be talking a lot. Jamie's probably going to be talking more than usual, which is ideal. Because I like it when Jamie talks to me. It's nice. I like the conversations that we have, Jamie.
Yeah,
it's huge. It's huge. So we're doing this. We're trying it out. So if this is something that you want to see more of, let us know. Hopefully we'll be doing more of these episodes and they'll still hopefully be funny and entertaining, but also, you know, giving us a chance to get a little bit deeper sometimes with these topics, which I hope you want to know more about me and what goes on inside my head. Maybe you don't. Maybe nobody wants to know what goes on inside my head. I know I sure don't. I just try and zone out as often as possible so I don't have to be in my own thoughts.
No, I feel like your thoughts are super interesting because, you know, when you, well, you have the way that you bring up these topics.
I feel like your thoughts are super interesting.
Well, no, because you bring up random talk is like when we're not on the air and we're talking about like random stuff all the time, I feel like it's like fun to follow.
Yeah, it's
so
fun to follow.
Other people don't get to see that as much. So that's I'm happy that they're going to get a glimpse into that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I am like kind of a super genius. That's one thing about me. I have a very high IQ. I can't back that up with any sort of proof. I've never taken an IQ test. But
yeah.
I'm also generally talk about how stupid I am.
Well, you know that movie, Baby Geniuses, was based on Trevor's life as a baby.
What is the movie Baby Geniuses?
You've never seen Baby Geniuses?
I've never seen Baby What is Baby Geniuses? Like the prequel to Boss Baby?
No, it's actually they used real human babies. But then they like had adults like or kids like be their voices. They were geniuses and it's like they saved the world or something like that. But they're babies.
That's literally the plot of Boss Baby.
I know, but it's better because it's real babies.
It's real babies.
It's real babies.
It's live action babies.
Live action babies.
Live action babies.
And like they didn't even get stunt doubles. They're actually doing the scientific experiments.
Were they like what?
No, I'm kidding. That was a lie. But
I was gonna say. Got this baby just holding a beaker full of corrosive acid, just waving it around. Well, how baby were they?
No, like literally.
Did they like walk around or were they just like, kind of crawling
were like,
around?
Like 18 to months to like 2.5 years, maybe?
I know nothing about the progression of like humans. Like, honestly, I don't know how old a third grader is. If you told me a third grader was like 10, I'd probably be like, okay, I believe you. If you told me a third grader was 6, I'd be like, that sounds right. I don't know anything. I don't know when kids start talking. I don't know when kids start walking. I don't know anything about babies or children. And as a former baby slash child myself, I know that's pretty embarrassing, but...
Anyways.
So anyway, this is the first solo episode of the show. Well, solo and a half, because Jamie will still be here and we'll be talking. But I have no guest, which is interesting, because now you get to just hear my incoherent ramblings, the thought stream, the thought stream from my head to the microphone, unhindered by the presence of someone that I don't want to think I'm insane.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're going to be talking about something that's been pretty important to me in the past, at least, is social anxiety. It's funny, I've had like a weird journey with social anxiety, and especially like, you know, turning 21 during the pandemic and then kind of coming back to society now that things are opening back up and we're in like a pre-post pandemic because it's still going on.
Yeah.
But then things are kind of going back to normal, but we're not out of it yet. So it's weird. There's like this weird little thing, but I've been doing a lot of stuff recently, and maybe it just feels like a lot. That's one thing I've noticed is like, I always feel like I've done so much. Like if I go out like two nights on a weekend, like if I'm doing something Friday night and Saturday night, I'm like, oh my God, I did so much stuff this weekend. But I think it's just because for 2 years I did nothing at all. So now anytime I do anything, it feels like an event. I'm like, oh my God, I was so busy. I've been so busy. But really, it's just like a normal amount of like going out.
No, I mean, it's definitely taken a toll, I feel like, on a lot of people in that sense. And for you, too. So, I mean, because you've told a lot of stories on the podcast about your life and things. And honestly, for someone that's only 22, I feel like you actually have done a lot of different things. Like you've lived in a bunch of different places and all that stuff. But I kind of like me being post 21 for a while now. I don't even remember. Like, what do people like? I know. But it's like, what do people do besides go to bars? And you didn't even be able to get that experience right away either. So like, what kind of was that like when you went into, because you play a lot of video games and stuff. So I feel like you're used to kind of being home. But like, was it still weird to like have that not being able to go out and not being able to experience those things?
Well, so take it back a few years. When I was in high school, I was like, I really had like bad social anxiety. Like it was really hard for me to be in public places by myself. Like I couldn't. I literally, if I wanted to go to the mall for something, I always had to ask a friend to be like, hey, can you go to the mall with me? Because if I went to the mall, it was just like instant, like uncomfortable. I hate that I'm out here. All these people are looking at me and thinking about me and judging me and talking about me. Like that was my mindset. Like I hated going out. I hated being in large groups. Was like really draining. And it always is. I mean, I'm an introverted person. I would say that I'm a people person. I love talking to people. I love going out. Like I don't dislike it. But definitely when I recharge is when I'm by myself, like in my room, like with no one around, doing whatever. It's definitely my recharge time. And my dad's kind of the same way. We both get a lot of crap for like people are like, oh, you're not introverted. Like, you're so, you know, you're loud. You love talking to people. You love being around people. And it's like, yeah, you can love being around people, but still be introverted. Because, like, being around people really drains me. And so when I was in high school, social anxiety was tough. It really was. Like, I didn't like going out and like doing things, even like school dances and stuff like that. Like, they just weren't fun to me. They made me very stressed out. And then I moved to LA. Well, there was like a year after high school that I lived in Virginia, and then I moved to LA. And then I was in LA for like a year, but I didn't do anything when, like, the first year of living on my own in LA when I was working at Dominique Ansel Bakery, I didn't do anything.
Really?
I had no money.
That is a thing.
I was living in West Hollywood by myself, which was very expensive.
I was going to say, I was like, so you moved to LA and you moved to West Hollywood?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a mile from like where I worked.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
It was like literally a mile from the Grove. But it was, I mean, that was my first time living by myself, like in a room, like I had my own place to myself. That was the first time. And I didn't do anything because I was getting paid enough to pay my rent, pay like utilities, whatever, internet.
Yeah.
And then have food. But other than that, I didn't have like a ton of extra income to like go out and do things. So, I mean, every once in a while I'd go out with some friends from work or whatever, but that was like once in a blue moon. So definitely during that year, I kind of just sat inside and didn't do anything. So I didn't have to really deal with that stuff.
Well, like, but did you feel kind of okay with it because of kind of you're like, well, I don't have to put myself out there as much because I don't have the means to kind of do so. Because like for me, like I didn't move out till I was like 25 and I was born and raised here. So I've never like had that. But like you're moving out so young too by on your own, I feel like is a struggle in and of itself.
Definitely that like year stretch, like I was going to work. I went in the afternoon and I was there till night. And then I would come home. I'd eat dinner at like 10 p.m. And then I would be up until 4 a.m. playing video games, doing whatever. And then I'd go to sleep and I'd wake up at noon, rinse and repeat. So like my sleep schedule is weird. I wasn't going out and doing a ton of stuff. I definitely was not medicated, so probably wasn't in the best mental space. Even though I know it wasn't like terrible, but it wasn't, you know, ideal. I mean, I was happy to do that. I kind of like got into this rhythm and I was happy to sit inside and play video games. Then I got this job and I had like 3 months of like, oh, I have now a lot of really cool friends and coworkers. I have more money now. I'm not paying as much. I moved up to Burbank. I'm not paying as much to live. I can finally go out and start doing stuff. Like I can actually like live and experience LA. Like I can go out to like places to eat with my friends and stuff like that. And then the pandemic happened.
Oof, and just put a stopper.
And then I was like, oh, never mind. I get to sit inside again for another year and a half, 2 years. but it's funny, at that point, I hadn't really ever had to deal with my social anxiety for like a long time.
Yeah.
Like I hadn't had to deal with it. I hadn't had to kind of put it out there. And I think something that really helped me with my social anxiety is being like on the internet. Because when I used to get really anxious and like, I think the thing that a lot of people with social anxiety struggle with is going out into like public places and thinking that everyone is like talking about you or judging you or looking at you. And like you kind of project this like, oh, all these people around me are thinking about me right now. And that's where the anxiety comes from. So when you start making videos and you're in videos that get put on the internet, you know people are judging you all the time and they tell you they're judging you in the comments.
Yeah.
So then like once I started doing that, like once I started being ridiculed by people on the internet on a daily basis, it actually really helped because at first the hate comments really made me feel shitty, like really bad.
Yeah.
I hated, I would like read through every single comment on a video. I would pick out what the few bad ones there were and I'd be like, oh my God, yeah, Trevor, you're the worst. And I hated it. Then I got over that and I was like, well, I don't care what people on the internet think. And then I was like, wait, if I freaking put myself out there every day for people on the internet to judge me, I don't care what they think. Why do I care what randos in public think? Like, nobody cares. Like, nobody's sitting there looking at me walking around. Maybe there are. Maybe there are people that are looking at me like, wow, that guy's a freaking nerd. Look at that idiot in his dumb overalls, loser. But like, I don't know, I started being like feeling a lot better with just like being out and about in public. And now that, you know, the pandemic is not over, but things are opening back up. I've definitely found that like going out isn't as hard.
It's one of those things though that like for whatever reason we're like, there's no way that someone else out there is thinking a positive thought about me, which is so like shitty of our own brains to do to us. Cause like I've always been someone that's very extroverted. Like, and I, but because of the pandemic, I feel like had a, my social battery has like decreased a lot.
Yeah.
And I started feeling a lot more social anxiety than I normally did. So that was like a complete shift for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh crap. So then for me, it was more of like, maybe I wasn't as extroverted as I thought. And then the whole terms of introvert versus extrovert, I feel like no one really kind of knows what that means. Like they do, but I feel like it's just thrown around so much that it can be anything. Like I said, and like, I also look back now on my times of like being, how is it? Oh, I used to want to be out all the time. And now I'm like, I do want to be home more. Like if I do two things on a weekend, like I'm exhausted.
No, yeah, I get that. I still am exhausted if I do two things on a weekend.
As someone that was like not really going out too much anyways, was like turning 21 and having that like kind of milestone kind of taken away from you. Like, was that like hard to deal with, or did you feel a certain type of way towards that?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was tough because there were things that I wanted to do for my 21st birthday. I've never been that big of a birthday person, but like when I was turning 21, it definitely did feel like, oh, this is something that like, you know, I want to celebrate because it when you're the young person everywhere, like when I was the young person at the bakery and I couldn't go out with friends after work when they wanted to go get a drink. When I was the young person here, that it was like literally my first holiday party. So like a month after I started working here, we had a holiday party. Some of my new friends who I'd just met and just started getting close with, they like went to a bar afterwards. And I was like, oh, like I can't, I just got to go home. And so it was definitely something where I was like, I can finally do things now. Mm-hmm. Like I finally like go out and grab a drink with friends, or even like go to Vegas with my parents. Like that was something that I'd wanted to do.
Yeah.
My parents love going to Vegas. Like they go a lot, and it was going to be this big thing that was like, oh, I can finally go to Vegas with my parents and like have fun with them. But then that didn't happen. And I think I just went to a liquor store and got like a rack of Blue Moon or something. had a brewski at home. But like I, you know, drank before I turned 21. So
Trevor,
not like a lot.
The first person ever.
the first ever criminal. It's me. But I know, like for me, it wasn't you know, too big of a deal. I think like, because generally I'm a pretty like go with the flow person. Like I don't tend to get too upset by things like that. But I know for Destiny, it was really hard because she graduated during the pandemic.
Okay.
And so the pandemic started like right towards the end of her junior year of college. And so her whole senior year was online, and her whole, like she turned 21 in college as a senior, wasn't able to do anything, wasn't able to like go out, get a drink, like party with her friends, whatever. She graduated. She like her whole last year of school is online. And I know that was really tough on her, and I'm sure tough on anyone else in college or high school to have that like last year of that like taken away from you.
Oh yeah, like, 100%.
That's, like I know for Destiny it was especially hard too, because she was, you know, wanting to go out and like start a career.
Yeah.
She wanted, you know, she was graduating with a degree in biology. And she was like looking for internships at places, and just nobody was hiring. Nobody had people in the office. They didn't have positions open for interns because everything was kind of shut down because of the pandemic. And so I didn't go to college, so I didn't experience that. But all those people that are my age that did, like they all really got the short end of the stick on that one. Like to have basically your life put on pause for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And not be able to go out and do those things. I mean, graduating from college, like from a
huge milestone,
huge milestone, very big thing, very big jumping off point into life. Cause you know, you graduate from high school and it's like, I'm no longer a high schooler. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm an adult, but you're going to do more school and you're still going to kind of be a kid. You're not going to have those responsibilities. You're not going to have like a full-time job if you do choose to go to college and stuff like that. But it's hard.
It's super hard. And I feel like okay, you graduate high school, obviously still big milestone. You don't have to go to college, but there's something about entering your 20s that kind of when you enter your 20s, do you do feel like you're like, okay, like this is kind of when my life is starting. I get to make the decisions.
Yeah.
I get to do these kinds of things. So it's not even just about drinking and going to bars, but it's about like, I am no longer a teen. I am considered an adult.
Yeah.
And you can't postpone that. Like you could postpone like Coachella, you could postpone all these concerts to when it's safer, but you don't postpone like, oh, I'm 21 and I'm becoming an adult and I'm figuring myself out. I was glad I was the age that I was when this was happening, because I would hate to have been younger and not have had those experiences, because I felt like I had did a lot of soul searching then and I still do that. So it's just, I feel for all of you guys that are just like trying to figure it out.
Yeah, like moving out for the first time, like getting an apartment with friends or whatever, getting your first like real job. So I don't know. It just seems like it sucks. I'm very thankful for the position that I was in, that it was like, okay, I guess I just play more video games at home now when I'm not working.
Yeah.
Which is great. But definitely was hard to come back though and like figure out how to talk to people again and make friends.
Obviously, it's not like this podcast started like as the world was opening up, but it kind of did a little bit. So it's like, how do you think that was for you being like, oh, like I talk to my coworkers all the time, but now I'm like having all these people on that I actually don't know personally, but know about them. Like, and actually you're like, I'm going to become their friend. And how did that feel?
It's funny actually how little it helps.
Oh no.
It's funny how different it is to, because when someone comes in here, I'm going to give you a little insight into the show. My brain is in full host mode. It's not in like, yeah, it's a fun conversation and that's what I want it to be. And we are having a fun conversation. But as someone that is, what I would, sorry, I'm burping Diet Coke in my microphone. Anyway, back to what I was saying, as someone who's an entertainer, as someone who like, whose job it is to be on camera and be a personality and be entertaining, as soon as someone sits down in that chair or calls into that screen and the cameras start rolling, I'm not in, oh, I'm Trevor and you're this person and it's like we're just having a coffee. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah.
I, in an ideal world, that's what it'd be like, but it'd probably be a lot more awkward because I don't know how to do that. I'm like, okay, being a host and I have like things here written down that like I want to talk about and I can ask questions and I can do a conversation, but like, if I go to a party now and I'm meeting someone new, I have no clue what to say. I don't know if I used to be good at it. I can't remember. I don't know if I used to be personable, like, and know how to like start a conversation. But then I see someone, I'm like, I have no clue what to say to you. I like, how do you start? Like, hi, my name is Trevor. So what things do you like?
Yeah. Like if you don't have a topic already set out, I guess it's true in the podcast. You're like, well, I have all these things I'm like got ready to say.
Yeah. I have a whole sheet of stuff here that I can fall back on. I need to just start doing that. If I'm going to a party and I know kind of the types of people that are going to be there, I'm just going to write a cheat sheet in my phone and be like, so you grew up in Oklahoma. What was that like? And they're like, what the hell did you just say? How do you know that? Like, oh, I do my research.
You're just like texting me or like, I need the research on this person.
Oh God. Yeah, no.
No.
It's not similar at all. This hasn't helped me at all. I will say though, it has helped me make friends. Like it hasn't helped me with making friends or with like making friends out in the wild. But that's also just because I think I'm an awkward person in general. That's actually something that I wanted to talk about. I think I'm okay. I'm fine at talking to people and making friends. I don't want to make myself sound like I'm just a bumbling idiot out in public. The thing that struggles for me is that now that I've made some really cool friends in the content creation space through the show, is now when I meet new people in the space. Like, for example, I was at a party recently with like, it was Offline TV's Anime Expo after party a little bit ago. And Offline TV, if you don't know, Pokimane, Disguised Toast, Skara, Lily Pichu, all these people. Very big streamers. It was a very big party. It was a lot of streamers, YouTubers, content creators, people that I have honestly looked up to forever. And now that I'm in that space, I get really bad imposter syndrome. Because I'm like, I looked up to you people. I do look up to you people. Like, I think you're really cool. What gives me the right to be here, have a conversation with you?
Yeah.
And they don't care. Like, I love Shroud. Shroud is one of my favorite freaking gamers of all time. I think he's the freaking GOAT.
Yeah.
And he's so great. And I think he's the coolest person ever. And I saw Shroud at this party, and I remember talking to him, and the whole time in my head, I'm just like, what? Why are you here, Trevor? Like, how do you exist in this space? What do you talk about? Like, you're not cool like these people. And I, like, you have no cred. You have no clout. Like, what are you doing here? How do you talk to people that, you know, it's like when your idols or people that you look up to become your sort of peers, even though I wouldn't call Shroud a peer of mine. But when that happens, it's really hard to be like cool about it. Cause I'm like, I don't know what to talk to these people about. Cause I think they're really cool. And I've watched their videos since I was, you know, in high school. And now I'm here talking to them face to face. Like I just have to play it cool and be chill. And that's one of the hardest things for me is like figuring out the balance of going up to someone that I really admire and being like, hey, I really admire you versus like not wanting to seem like a weirdo, like fanboy.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think it's also too, like, all of those creators probably went through the same exact thing when they were, you know, smaller or starting out or whatever, or they probably still go through that now. Like, do you ever think about like people that are still like who Shroud probably looks up to and gets giddy about too? Like, I'm sure there are
nobody.
People.
Nobody. Shroud's the GOAT.
Okay. Well, I mean,
he's
like
the greatest of all time.
Maybe not in like, you know, maybe not in like the video game world, but like, I don't know. Yeah. What if he met Rihanna? I don't know if that's someone he would like, but you know,
Shroud looks up.
Probably not, but you know,
that is,
as an example,
I don't know much about Shroud, but no, but I get what you're saying, and it is, and there's always going to be another level of fame, another level of notoriety that it's like, oh, like I can't believe I met that person, like even I don't know, it's weird. I literally had a conversation. Shifter is a former League of Legends. He's a recovering League of Legends player.
Recovering?
Because if you've played League of Legends a lot and then you stop, then, you know, it's like quitting drugs. It's great.
And
it's
so he's kind of like a League rehab.
Yeah, he's in League rehab. No, he's just been playing a lot of Valorant because League sucks. But I love Shifter. And my friends and I literally used to watch Shifter play all the time, like when we were in high school, back when we first started playing League. And I saw Shifter at this party. And I walked up to him and I was like, oh my God, this is Shifter. Like, what do I say? What do I freaking talk about? And then like instinctively, and I'd also, you know, been drinking, it was a party. And so instinctively, I was just like, I have to prove to him right now that I have the right to be speaking to him, which is so dumb when you think about it. Like, you're at a party, just go up and say hi. Even if I lead with, hey, dude, I love your videos or I love your streams. Like, even if I lead with that, that's not weird. That's not weird for someone to say. Like, even if he didn't know who I was, like, or he just assumed that I was another content creator, just to have someone come up to you and be like, hey, I love your stuff. Like, if another, like, content creator does that, that's not a weird thing to do. But in my head, I was like, I don't have the right to be here. I am less than these people, so I have to prove to them that I am worth talking to or I'm okay to be here. And so I just clout checked myself right in front of him. It was the dumbest thing ever.
No, Trevor. And I was like, we talked about it before you went. We're like, don't do that.
I know. And I was just like, in this moment, though, it's so hard for me to be in these spaces and like not, I don't know, that's been the hardest thing, honestly.
Yeah.
I think I've been like doing a lot better as far as social anxiety. And I don't think I've ever really struggled with like making friends like normally. But now that I'm in a place where I'm meeting a lot of people that I really look up to and really admire, it's really hard for me to not be a weirdo because I don't see myself as, you know, on that level, or I don't see myself as being in the same league as them. Like, it's always hard. Like, anytime any of my friends joke around and like say like, oh, Trevor, you're a famous friend. I'm like, I'm not famous. I'm stupid. I'm on a YouTube channel sometimes. I work for two famous guys, and I occasionally am on, like, will be on camera for a second on their show, but I'm not famous. Like,
millions of people have seen your face.
Yeah, but still, it's not like I'm not famous. I don't even know that I go so far as to say I'm an internet micro celebrity. I don't believe that, like, micro celebrity even still feels too big, but maybe that's just me projecting. Like, I don't know. I've never had like a lot of self-confidence, and I don't see myself as being, you know, but to my friends, I am their famous friend.
Yeah.
Like, to my friends, I am. To my friends, like, who aren't, like, they're not grinding on social media for followers. They're not, like, in any sort of content. Like, they're normal people who I love That sounded so bad. Yeah, no. They're just normies. My friends are just normies, but they are. I mean, and I love my friends to death, yeah. But to them, I'm like, oh, Trevor, yeah, like you're our famous friend. And in my head, I'm like, no, I'm not. But I don't know. It's just a weird, like, matter of perception. I don't think I ever give myself enough credit. I definitely am someone that leans on the side of not giving myself any credit just because, I don't know. I'm very comparative to other people. And so anytime I, like, achieve anything, I'm like, oh, but it could be this. You know, it could be this much better. Like, there's these people that have done way more than I have. So obviously what I've done is worthless.
No, not at all. And well... I would like to say, so whilst the first time that we chatted and then the first time that we met, like, we had something to talk about. It wasn't like we were just stumbled across each other. It's like, okay, we're trying to figure out, can we work together? Like, but I will say, after that first initial, like, we met over Zoom to kind of see, like, oh, could we gel together? Like, literally, I was like, I got off the Zoom and I was like, I want to work with this kid. Like, I think that he's, like, super cool. I think we could jive super well together. So I was, like, excited. I was like, all right, this is the kind of personality that, like, I can work with. And then when we met for the first time, like, yeah, we were talking about work stuff. So again, it wasn't like, oh, we had to come up with conversation.
Yeah.
But it also didn't feel to me super awkward. I don't know how it felt to you, but I was like, well,
no,
hey, like, we're chilling. Like, we met at a coffee shop. We're like, okay.
I forgot about that. We did do that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, everyone. This is our first solo episode. This is the first time I've had to sit here and fill up 38 minutes without having a guest right there. And Jamie, you've been phenomenal, but it is hard to just talk about myself. But I don't think until I started talking, I realized how much I've changed since, like, high school.
Yeah.
I've changed so much. And yeah, I think the hardest thing, honestly, for me is to just continue to be, like, kind of growing in this space and meeting people that I think are really cool and feeling like I don't belong there. Like, feeling like, oh, like, you don't belong here. Like, you're not in the same league as these people. And even though every single person that I've met and become friends with and talked to has said the exact opposite, it's still just hard for me. I don't know. I have a lot of problems.
No. Well, this is the thing. Is like, someone can compliment you until you're blue in the face. I don't know why you'd be holding your breath during that, but maybe you are. And yeah, like, you still need to believe it yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it is difficult. Like, my friends say that I'm the confident one, but I'm like, oh my God, like, when you were talking about having imposter syndrome, I'm like, I literally had that conversation this weekend. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a fraud in my life. Like, yeah, people think I'm successful, but yada, yada, yada. Like, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, I feel like that's something that a lot more people can relate to than you would think too.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all, like, that's why I've always said, I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called Just Winging It. Because yeah, that's what everyone is doing, I feel like.
Yeah, honestly. It's, it's tough. I'm very thankful for everyone here. I mean, like, at Mythical, even, like, Josh and Nicole.
Yeah.
They're two of my favorite people on the fucking planet. And they have done nothing but support me all the time. And ever since I started here, just doing food, to my first really terrible on-camera appearance in Snack Smash, where I was, like, just stiff as a board and had no clue what I was doing. And they still, you know, took a chance on me and let me keep going at it, let me keep hammering away. And then for Rhett Link to even give me a show, like, I don't know.
Normally, this is the point in the podcast where you ask me how things have been going, but I kind of want to ask you, like, after kind of having this moment, like, how do you feel about how this is going as being a solo podcast?
I don't know. I feel like I'm just going to air out how really, truly mentally unhealthy I am.
No, I think you're having very thoughtful conversations.
Am I having thoughtful conversations? I feel like people are going to listen to this and be like, wow, Trevor's fricked up in the head. That guy's got some issues. And I do. But I think that the issues that I have are issues that everyone has. Deep down to some degree, everyone at one point or another, I find it really hard to believe that anyone is truly confident. Like,
mm-hmm,
I think that it is really hard. I think that some people fake it, and I think some people fake it until they believe it, which I admire and I would want to do one day. But I think for anyone to truly feel like 100% confident in who they are and in themselves, I think that's a very rare thing. I think everybody struggles to some degree with having, like, not a great sense of self-importance or self-worth. I think that, you know, I think it is, especially I think for people in my generation. I don't know. I just feel like it's something that's very common with me and a lot of my peers, just to like not, I don't know. Maybe there's some old people out there. I feel like old people are pretty confident, but
they, it's all the same shit, to be completely honest. Like they also, like my dad has talked about his anxieties just recently.
Yeah.
And I've always like, Dad, you have literally come off as like the most confident, never wavering person that I've like ever met. So just to know, it also just, I feel like it adds just a very human aspect to people.
Yeah.
Like you look up to people, people in your life or people that you don't know that are struggling.
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously you don't want anyone to struggle. I don't want you to struggle with stuff because I think you're awesome. I don't want me to struggle with stuff, even though I do all the time. But like, I've had friends be like, before I was open about my anxiety, they were like, I never would have thought for a second you struggled with it. And I was like, oh no, like it's constant. Yeah. Like I'm like, my mind is constantly crumbling, but it's like, it's good to talk about those things because then it makes everyone, I feel a little bit better about themselves just to know like, okay, I'm not alone in my thoughts. Other people also go through these things.
Yeah.
And then you can help each other work through it maybe.
Yeah. I think that's something that's definitely been, I think it's something that we've talked about previously on the show, but like living in kind of the world of comparison and the world of social media. And like only ever seeing the good side of people definitely makes it hard. I got my hands down my overalls right now.
I was going to say, what are you doing, Trevor? No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm just resting my hands in my overalls. That's why I wear them. But I mean, everybody has the things that they've struggled with. And there's no problem that someone hasn't dealt with before. You know, there's no new problems. It's not like me being like, I'm the first person ever to struggle with the shitty sense of self-worth. How did this turn from the social anxiety podcast into the self-worth podcast?
I feel like it goes...
I switched it up, Jamie. I'm sorry. Change the title. So it's cringe.
Well, do you want to make it...
so cringe.
Do you want to make it a little bit more cringe?
Yeah, what am I... What?
And help me out, because I feel like... Especially since working on this podcast, you have taught me so many different things that I did not know before
in
the world.
I'm a pretty smart person.
because I'm not, I feel like I'm just like, I'm not hip anymore.
Yeah.
Even saying that sounds like I'm 78. But
I'm not hip anymore.
I'm not hip, but I need a hip replacement. But would you like to?
Do you want to retake that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so corny. I loved that. I know you have all the editing power, but you have to leave that in for me.
That I'm leaving that in.
So corny. All right, what were you going to ask me? You were getting into something.
Basically, I was trying to say, I would like you to...
Are you going to ask me to explain what something means, like slang?
Yes, I would like you to clarify something for me.
Well, that's a great segue into one of my new fun things that I want to do, new segments that I want to do called Trevor Tries to Clarify. I'm Trevor, and I'm going to try to clarify as much as I can.
What is Riz? I don't understand.
Riz is my new favorite word.
Like, what?
Riz is the funniest thing that anyone can say.
What is it?
Okay, so here's what Riz means. There was like some Twitch streamer, I think, that started it. But basically, like, there's like a few different ways that you can use the word. But like, imagine I say, like, I'm dropping straight Riz right now, or I'm dropping Riz right now. Pretty much all that means is like how smooth you are, or like your ability to like pick up like men or women.
Oh.
It's literally for example, say like I go up to and I'm in a committed relationship, so this is purely hypothetical, but say I go up to a girl at the bar and I drop a really funny joke or a nice pickup line or something, like, dude, I'm dropping straight Riz right now. But it's ironic. I wouldn't ever say it unironically. It's usually when I make like a really stupid joke around Destiny, I'll be like, yo, that was Riz, or I'm dropping Riz right now. And then there's unspoken Riz, which is your ability to be attractive without saying anything. So like, if you can just like look at someone and like give them a little look, and they're, and then like, that's the unspoken Riz. That's much rarer to have the unspoken Riz. It's a meme. It's really stupid. I use it purely ironically.
That that okay? I mean, so if there was like a modern day, which I really hope there never is, like a modern day pickup artist thing, that would be there'd be like, we're gonna work on your ability to drop Riz or something.
Yeah, but it's like stupid. It's like a gaming like Twitch thing, though, okay. Which means it's ironic and dumb. Like if anybody ever seriously was like, trying to say like, dude, I got that crazy unspoken Riz. Like if anybody ever said that in a sentence and wasn't being trying to be funny, I'd be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But like when I walk around with my sick Fortnite hoodie and I'll be like, yo, this hoodie has got that unspoken Riz. Like this is straight Riz. Like that's funny. I just like to say it pretty much anytime. And I make dumb jokes on a very regular basis. So anytime I'm walking around with my girlfriend and I say something really stupid, I'm like, yo, I'm dropping Riz right now.
Okay, well, because I pretty honestly, I had heard it once on the on the interwebs, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Jamie, are you like 40? You sound so old.
I know. I
heard it once on the interwebs.
When I charge people, my roommates, I write interwebs on Venmo.
Shut up. No.
I'd also do that ironically.
What do I write on my Venmos? I think I'll just do like a little computer or something, or I'll just write bills.
Oh, so you don't like to make it fun?
No. No.
That's how sad my life is. That's where my joy comes from.
I don't
from.
Feel the need to make it fun. I tend to think I'm a businessman, you know. I'm a pretty serious guy.
Once that mic turns off, it's all business.
All business. I'm totally not a freaking idiot in real life. I only do this for the camera.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for enlightening me on that because I have no idea. I'm sure I'll have more questions.
Happy to help. Here's the thing. Anyone that I can, I don't know. It always feels like I'm outing myself as like really stupid whenever anyone asks me like, oh, what does this thing mean, young person? And then I'm like, oh, let me tell you. And then I explain it and I'm like, wow, I sound so stupid. They probably think I'm stupid, but it's okay. I've come to grips with that.
Every slang.
Yeah.
From every generation has, yeah. You know.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I love telling people about the stupid things that I say. What can I say? I got that unspoken Riz.
Oh, no. Maybe it's time to close it out.
What? It's time to close it out? All right. Before we wrap it up, Jamie, I have some very exciting news to share with the people. We made a freaking card game. Not me personally, Rhett and Link and our friends over at Spin Master. They worked together to create a really fun card game. It's all about putting like positive spins on terrible things that are happening. Because I feel like there's a lot of terrible things that have been happening and there's a lot of, you know, weird situations and stuff. But it's a really fun, it's like a party game that you play with your friends and you win points by playing like missing words that can like put a positive spin on the situations in the funniest way. So
that's
like
fun.
There's these bad situations that you get into and then you got to play these cards to like, you know, fill in the blanks of these situations and try and make it more positive. But it's really cool. It's really fun. And we're bringing it to you. We're releasing it now. I believe it's out now. You can find it at Walmart. It's a fun party game to play with your friends. So go check it out. It's called We're Still Good. You know, get into some fun, disastrous adventures with your friends in the form of card games. And there's also a ton of mythical stuff in there, too. Little inside jokes, fun stuff like that. So definitely go check that out. And yeah, thank you for listening to Trevor Talks Too Much, the first solo episode. I hope you enjoyed. Please let me know if you did, if you want to see more of this, if you enjoy hearing me ramble on and give you a little look inside my brain, let us know, leave a review, leave a comment. But we're not completely giving up on the guests.
No.
Still. Yeah, no, not at all. We're still going to have guests on. It'll be kind of a little back and forth thing. We'll be doing a little mix. So, let us know what you want to hear, what you want to see. We've got new episodes out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. The video versions come out the following Monday on youtube.com/TrevorTalksTooMuch. And yeah, what else do I plug, Jamie? What else do I need to say? You can find us on social medias. You can find all of this stuff on social medias. Go check out all the other channels, Mythical Kitchen, GMM, all the other podcasts and stuff too. They're all great. Check out Mythical Pods over on TikTok for some fun clips from all of the Mythical podcasts. If there's any really stupid thing that you've heard on the internet and you don't know what it means, I probably know what it means. So send me a DM or something, ask me, and I will try and answer as many of those questions. If you want me to Claire. I just stopped at Claire. Stop Claire. If you want me to clarify anything, let me know. Send me a DM on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. I will do my best to educate the masses on all the stupid things that my young friends and I say.